Jack, who lived with his mother in a small village. They were very, very poor. All they owned was an old cow named Magnolia. The milk that came from the cow was sold to the folks in the village. That's how Jack and his mother were able to support themselves. One morning, when one of the neighbors was waiting for his milk, something unexpected happened. Jack's mother tried to milk the cow and suddenly stopped and cried out,
"Take out the dam!
Oh me, oh my, oh goodness! It can't be true! It just can't be true!"
"What's the matter, Mrs. Whitby? What's wrong?"
"What's wrong? Nothing could be worse. Magnolia has stopped giving milk."
"What, no milk? Gosh, Mrs. Whitby, does that mean I'll have to go into town to buy milk from now on?"
"That's right, Richard. I'm out of the milk business, but for good."
"Gee, that's too bad."
"Oh, what shall I do now? I wish my son Jack were here. I wonder where he can be."
"On my way down here, I saw him fishing at the brook."
"On your way back, will you please tell him to hurry home?"
"I'll be glad to, Mrs. Whitby. Goodbye, and I'm sorry about the milk."
"So am I. Goodbye, Richard. Jack's been gone all morning. Whenever I need him, he's never around."
About his old friends who'd stopped being boys.
They forgot.
There was Howard C. Green, just turned 33. His leather chair waits at the bank. And Sergeant Dow Jones, 27 years old, commanding his very own tank. But Lather still finds it a nice thing to do, to lie about nude in the sand.
When Richard arrived at the brook, there was Jack sitting under a shady tree by the water's edge. His fishing pole was swaying in the breeze, and his fishing line was dangling in the water. His head was resting against the tree, and his eyes were closed. Suddenly, there was a pull on the line. Jack tried to grab the pole, but he was too late, and Jack let out a deep moan.
"Ah, shucks! There goes my fishing pole!"
"Gee, it's too bad that fish got away, Jack, but that's nothing compared to the bad news I've got to tell you."
"What could be worse than losing my fishing pole and my supper?"
"I just came from your mother. She wants you to hurry home."
"What's wrong?"
"Magnolia has stopped giving milk."
"What? No more milk? Well, what's the use of worrying? There's no use crying over milk you haven't got to spill."
"Let me eyes wide and plainly say, is it true that I'm no longer young,
Mommy?
And the children call him famous, what the old men call insane. And sometimes he's so nameless that he hardly knows what game to play, which words to say. And I should have told him, no, you're not old, and I should have let him go on.
When Jack arrived at his home, there was lots of excitement. There was Mr. Higgins, the landlord, who was a frozen-faced bully, scolding Mrs. Whitby.
"I can't wait for the rent any longer, Mrs. Whitby. I must have it today, or out you go."
"Dear landlord, please don't put a price on my soul. My burdens are heavy, my dreams are beyond control. When that steamboat whistle blows, I'm gonna give you all I got to give, and I do hope you receive it well, depend on the way you feel that you live.
Higgins, my cow has stopped giving milk. That's why I have no money for the rent.
That's no concern of mine. I've given you enough time. The rent is long overdue.
Please, Mr. Higgins, just give me a few more days.
And where will you get the money?
From my son, Jack. He'll get a job.
Jack, get a job? Now, let's be serious, Mrs. Whitby. Who in the world would give that lazy, good-for-nothing son of yours a job?
Oh, what shall I do? What shall I do?
I'll tell you what to do, Mrs. Whitby. You better sell your cow right away.
Oh, here comes my son, Jack.
What's going on, Mother?
I'll tell you what's going on, you loafer. I'll give you until tomorrow to raise the rent money. Otherwise, you'll have to get out. Do you both understand that?
Yes, Mr. Higgins.
All right, until tomorrow, then. Not a day longer. Good day.
Mother, Richard told me the bad news. I'm sorry.
Jack, my son, you must go to the market right away and sell Magnolia.
Don't worry, Mother. You can depend upon me. I'll be right back with the money.
Be careful, Jack, and get as much as you can.
Goodbye, Mother.
Goodbye, Jack.
As Jack and Magnolia were on their way to the market, they met a man sitting on a fence. He waved a cheery hello. He had a friendly smile when he spoke. His name was
Dr. Jones.
Mr. Blue.
Mr. Spaceman. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy and there ain't no place I'm going to. Hey,
your name, but lots of other things about you.
You do?
Yes, indeedy. For example, I know what you intend doing with your cow, Magnolia.
You don't say.
Oh, yes, I do say. You're going to the market to sell her to the butcher. That's what you intend to do, but don't you do it.
But I must.
Yes, I know why, too. You need the money to pay the rent.
That's right. That's why I must sell it at once.
Oh, of course you must sell it. And I'm the one you're going to sell it to.
Well, how many pieces of silver will you pay for the cow? 5 pieces, 10 pieces, maybe 15 pieces?
No pieces. I have no silver.
Well, then how do you expect to pay for the cow?
I have something more valuable than silver.
You mean gold?
Nope, no gold, no diamonds, no pearls, but something more precious than anything in the world.
What is it, sir? What is it?
Marijuana. Marijuana, marijuana,
If you plant them in your garden today, by tomorrow morning they will grow right up to the sky.
Really, sir?
You can believe me, Jack. If it doesn't turn out just as I say, you can have your cow back.
All right, it's a bargain. Give me the magic beans.
Oh, here they are, Jack.
And here's the cow. Goodbye, sir, and thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Jack. Well, goodbye.
And goodbye, Magnolia.
Just one thing more, Jack. After you have planted the magic beans, take one bucket full of water, and while you are sprinkling the magic beans, you must sing this little song. So Jack went to bed without any supper. He soon forgot his hunger, dreaming about the magic beans. Next morning, he got up bright and early. But when he looked out of his window, everything was so dark, he thought it was still moonlight. Everything looked so greenish. He couldn't understand why until his eyes fell on the beanstalk that reached up so high, he couldn't see where it ended. It caused a deep shadow that covered the whole neighborhood. He became so excited, he couldn't utter a word. He was speechless. As soon as he had caught his breath, he yelled,
Mother, Mother, look, look!
What's the matter, Jack?
Look, Mother, what did I tell you? The beans were really magic, just like the man told me. Just take a look at that beanstalk.
I wonder where it ends.
I'll climb up and see for myself.
Oh, Jack, please be careful.
Don't worry, Mother. I'm going right to the top and see where it takes me.
Jack started to climb up the beanstalk. He kept climbing up and up and up, way above the clouds, until he came to the top. When he stepped off, he landed on a roadway. There he saw a man sitting on a fence. Jack thought his face looked familiar. It was. It was Peter who greeted him with a great big smile.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, it's you. What are you doing up here?
Didn't I tell you about the magic beans?
Yes, you did, and it all came true.
Now, do you believe me?
I do. I certainly do.
Good. Now, tell me, what is that building you see in the distance?
I see a magnificent castle with so many balconies and towers and lots of glass-stained windows gleaming in the sunlight. I never saw anything so beautiful.
Well, Jack, that castle once belonged to a nobleman. That man was your father, the Earl of Whitby. He was a good man and kind to everyone. But one day, a giant whom your father befriended killed your father and took possession of the castle. You were only a baby in your mother's arms at the time. Somehow, your mother was able to escape with you.
Well, what am I to do now?
You go to that castle and don't be afraid of that giant. Remember, everything the castle contains rightfully belongs to you. So take whatever you wish.
Everything?
Yes, everything.
I will go there at once. Goodbye, and thank you very much, sir.
Jack followed the road leading to the castle, wondering what he would find there. After a long walk, he finally arrived at the outer gate. There he saw the giant's wife sweeping up the courtyard. Jack knocked at the gate and said,
"Oh, pardon me, madam. Where did you come from, boy? How did you get here? What do you want? Speak up, boy, speak up."
"Please, Mum, I'm lost and a long way from my home, and I'm so hungry, I'm about to faint. Please give me a bite to eat."
"If it's a bite you want, it's a bite you'd be for my husband, who is a giant. You'd better get away from here as fast as you can run before the giant comes home for his dinner."
"If I don't get something to eat right away, I'll die of hunger. So what does it matter what happens to me now?"
"Oh, you poor unfortunate boy. You do look half starved. Come into the kitchen with me and I'll give you some food. But we must hurry, hurry. The giant will soon be here."
So the giant's wife led Jack through the castle into the kitchen. There she prepared a quick meal for Jack. He was so hungry that he ate every bit of food that she placed before him. The giant's wife then gave Jack a big piece of apple pie. Just as Jack was about to sink his teeth into the pie, there was a terrific roar like thunder. The curtains and the tablecloth started to blow away, and the kettles on the stove started to rattle. The giant's wife grabbed Jack by his hand and yelled,
"Oh, the giant is coming home. You will have no time to run away. Oh, I've got to hide you someplace. Here, boy, jump into the oven. And don't try to leave until the giant falls asleep. He always takes a nap after eating. And if you value your life, don't make a sound. Do you understand?"
"Yes, yes, I understand. I'll be as quiet as a mouse."
By this time, the giant was walking through the outer gate into the castle. When he entered the courtyard, he was so big that he reached up to the level of the second balcony. He was carrying an elephant over his right shoulder and a deer and an alligator over his left shoulder. As he entered the arched doorway into the castle, he had to stoop down on his knees so that he wouldn't bump his head on the low ceiling. When he entered the kitchen, his wife tried to act as if nothing had happened and greeted him with a cheery,
"Hello, Dodo. Why are you home so early today? Are you feeling all right?"
"Oh, I'm feeling fine and dandy. I'm very, very hungry. And I smell something good, real good.
It's the nice buffalo steak I prepared for you, Dodo. I hope you like it."
"Don't try to hide anything from me, little woman. What I smell is my favorite dish. Give it to me."
Then he started to sing this song.
Fee-fee-fi-fi-fo-fo-fum.
"There you go with your old fee-fi-fo-fum. I told you that what you are smelling is a steak from the buffalo you brought home last night."
"I swear it was an Englishman. I'm getting so I can't tell the difference between a human and an animal."
"Oh, sit down at the table, Dodo, and I'll serve you your dinner."
So the giant sat down at the table and ate a bucketful of hippopotamus stew. Then he devoured a roasted pig with a big roasted apple stuck in its mouth. Then he gulped a great big chunk of buffalo steak together with 100 cabbages and a pot full of carrots.
"I'm gonna feed round my vegetables. I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all. My favorite vegetable. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you'd toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables, cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable."
After the giant had finished his meal, he called to his wife.
"Little woman, where is my bag of gold?"
"Here it is, Dodo, the very same bag that the Earl of Whitby once owned."
"Put it here on the table. I want to run my fingers through all the gold pieces."
As the giant poured the gold coins from the bag, his red flaming eyeballs followed each bright and yellow piece of gold as it rolled all around the tabletop. From a small opening in the stove, Jack could see all the riches that once belonged to his father. He stared and stared until his eyes became as big as saucers. Soon the giant got tired playing with the gold and poured it all back into the bag and tied a string around it. Then he placed it right in front of him. Soon he started to yawn. His eyelids became heavy. They soon closed tightly, and Jack knew that the giant was on his way to Slumberland.
I'm so tired, I haven't slept a wink. I'm so tired, my mind is on the blink. I wonder, should I get up and fix myself a drink? No, no, no. I'm so tired, my mind is set on you. I wonder, should I call you? But I know what you would do.
He sure had a close call that time. That was a moment he would never forget. Well, the giant's wife fed the giant a meal so big he had to unbutton all the buttons on his waistcoat. When he finished eating, he called to his wife.
Little woman, where is my hen?
Here it is, Dodo.
Set it right here on the table. I love to stroke its black feathers and shiny red comb. I just love that hen.
I remember how the Earl of Whitby loved that hen, too.
Why wouldn't he love such a hen? After all, there is not another one like it in all the wide, wide world. Oh, and it's all mine, mine.
Then the giant stroked the hen gently and said,
lay.
And the hen laid a great, big, shiny, golden egg right on the table. He said,
lay again.
And another golden egg fell beside the first one. The giant played with the golden eggs for a while, then he put them into a bag. Then his wife came into the room carrying a beautiful golden harp studded with precious gems that sparkled in the glow of the fire burning in the fireplace. It was a magic harp that once belonged to the Earl of Whitby. The giant placed the harp on the table in front of him and said,
play, harp, play.
Coming from the harp was the most beautiful Jack had ever heard. Soon the giant was fast asleep. The music was so soothing, it almost put Jack to sleep too, and he had to pinch himself many times in order to stay awake. Soon the giant was snoring, and Jack knew it was time for him to get to the hen and the harp. He quickly climbed up the table and slowly brought both the hen and the harp to the floor. As he reached the kitchen door, the hen started to cackle, and the harp yelled,
Master! Master!
Jack dashed out the door with the hen under his left arm and the golden harp strapped over his right shoulder. When he got to the outer gate, he heard the giant roar.
Come back here, you rascal! You'll never get away! Come back, do you hear? Come back!
Of course, Jack heard the giant, but he ran all the faster down the road to the beanstalk. The giant tried to get up from his chair, but he had great difficulty because he had stuffed himself with so much food that he swelled up like a big balloon. When he tried to get through the kitchen door, he was so blown up that he got stuck between the posts and couldn't move an inch. It took all of the giant's strength before he forced himself free. By this time, Jack was way out in front. But the giant, flinging his big arms up and down like the wings of a bird, went leaping and bounding down the road in pursuit of Jack.
Ain't the luckiest girl I know. You won't get luckier the way you're going. Your heart's shoes rusty and your mirror's cracked. You walk on the ladders and you walk right back.
Great big legs was soon outrunning Jack, who was losing ground very fast. Just as the giant was about to grab Jack by the neck, Jack dropped one of the magic beans on the ground, and it turned into a lake of fire. The giant was forced to run around the lake in order to catch up with Jack. But before long, the giant was on Jack's tail again. The race was now nip and tuck. Just as the giant was about to grab him by the neck, Jack dropped a second magic bean, and the ground turned into a jungle of thorns sharp as blades. The giant's hands were cut in so many places that it slowed him down quite a bit. The giant was furious and wild as a bull. He was breathing fire, and smoke came from his nostrils. He thought the race with Jack would be a walk away, but now Jack was way out in front. Suddenly, the giant stopped and picked up a great big rock, and he hurled it at Jack. It zoomed through the air like a rocket and landed just a few feet in front of Jack and blocked the road. Jack had suddenly come to grief. All was lost. He started to panic. Then he remembered he still had one more magic bean. He dropped it on the ground, and it turned into a swamp full of ferocious alligators and reptiles. The giant had a lot of trouble trying to wade through the sloppy mud and at the same time fight all the alligators and reptiles. This gave Jack enough time to get over the big rock. When he reached the road again, he made a final dash straight for the beanstalk. He jumped on it and went sliding and scooting so fast you would think he was falling.
8 miles high, and when you touch down, you'll find that it's stranger than known.
When Jack was quite a way down, he felt a sudden lurch. It nearly caused him to lose his grip. That's when Jack knew that the giant was following him, because the beanstalk shook and swayed like a willow tree in the breeze. As Jack was getting to the bottom of the beanstalk, he yelled,
Mother, bring an axe! Hurry, hurry!
His mother had the axe ready the moment Jack's feet touched the ground. He grabbed it and started to chop, chop, chop at the beanstalk. The axe cut and split and hewed, first to the right and then to the left. The beans came tumbling down from the beanstalk like there was a hailstorm. Suddenly the beanstalk came tumbling down, 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 clean across the valley and fell to the ground with a crash. All the people in the town came out to see just what had happened. The giant landed far down the road. He was buried deep in the ground. His arms and legs stretched out like he was floating on his back in the water. 100 men had to shovel all day to fill in the ground with dirt. When the giant was all covered up, the mayor of the town put a big headstone over the giant's grave, and on it was written the following words.
At the bottom of this mine lies a big, big man. Big John.
And so, boys and girls, Jack and his mother lived happily ever after. And whenever anyone would ask her about her son Jack, his mother would always sing this song.
Happy Jack wasn't old, but he was a man. He lived in the sand at the island. On his head in the hurry donkey.
up Jack all the while.